each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody and welcome. Where is Tony?
Tony's running late.
When I want him, he's not here.
He's on his way.
Because I have a question for him. I want to find out what Father Coy's talked about yesterday. Do you know?
He talked about the cleansing of the church.
The cleansing. So that's what I want to... So if Tony's on his way, then he needs to get his thoughts together and give me a... what would you call it? A summation.
A summation of...
Of the show. Because I'm just curious. I'm reading... It's not that I want to rehash. But by the way, hi, Christina and Nick.
Hello, Father.
Nicholas. Today's rehash all this this stuff, but mm-hmm. It's just, I think we're grappling with it, you know. And what's interesting are the readings from the, so Nick said that he spoke about the scandals and the letter Pope Francis wrote. Did he read the letter or he did? Okay, parts of it, yeah. All right, good. So I don't have to do that, but in any case, we'll see how well Tony listened mm-hmm. yesterday. But so the thing is that you know it's not like you can't really put it to rest because we're talking about the scandals yet again. Mm-hmm. But there's a grace in this, I think, and so today I had to address. For the first time, the parents and the teachers, our students just started school this week. And so, I send notes out to them and letters and all that. And had sent usually the bulletin letter and, mm-hmm. you know, if there's a few things I want to say. So I didn't, but I haven't yet addressed this with them right now. We just started school. But all week I've been, what do I say, you know, because I don't want to, and I've been listening to different responses from different priests, mm-hmm. and as they dealt with their
parishioners
and all that, and YouTube has some interesting and nice responses, mm-hmm. but there's a point where you just, you know, what can you say, you know, it's like it is what it is, mm-hmm. and... So today, and I kind of shared this with you after I think I'd already sent it, or was I preparing to send it?
You were preparing to send it.
Yeah. So to address our parent or anybody, you know, and finally I wanted to see if I could get it on the Facebook as well, because I actually haven't had anything on Facebook for a long time because we have a couple of other people that take care of that. And so, mm-hmm. and with these things, you know, what you've got, I tend to write a lot, mm-hmm. you know, and I speak a lot, as you know, I'll go on for an hour. Armin said, you know, it's amazing you can go 30 minutes, 40 minutes and not stop, you know, and that might be a good thing. It may not be a good thing.
That's,
you know,
a gift.
It depends on what you say, right?
It depends.
Yeah. But in any case, because there's so much I want to say, mm-hmm. and yet it's like beating a dead horse, in a sense, because what can you say? And so this morning I was in the chapel, and I thought, well, I need to, first of all, I want to invite the parents and invite everybody, actually, because mm-hmm. we have a fun fest this Saturday at 3 o'clock, from 3 o'clock to 8 o'clock. I'm going to be, and you too, because you're going to be singing. We're going to be in the church.
We got
masses, back-to-back masses.
Actually, I'm going to be in the church the whole day.
The whole day, because you
have
morning practice
and
as well.
Then we have the rehearsal. Yeah. Yes.
So you might just consider singing at the 5 o'clock mass, since you're going to be there all day. You
know? Might as well, right?
Right. So, but anyway, so everybody's welcome to the Fun Fest, and so I wanted to, in a note, at least you know, officially welcome back the parents and the students and the teachers, and for those who are new to the school, that you know that you know, we're happy to have them, and that they've made a wise choice for the education, the formation of their children. But then I said, you know, while I've addressed on Sunday, and I have, and on the radio shows, we've dealt with two shows on this these scandals. Father Coy's, I believe, has as
yes,
well.
In
certainly
the past
yesterday.
2 weeks,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly. And so we can't really get away from it, because we're all grappling with it, and I think it raises other questions. You know, I think we all have to, and I'll show you in just a moment, because I want to share with you the reading from the prophet Ezekiel. We're still in the prophet Ezekiel. And I tell you, just it couldn't be more, I mean, so providential that as the church is dealing with this, where as we celebrate Mass on a daily basis, that what we're listening to, what we're reading here, is being read in every other place in the world where the Catholic Mass is celebrated. But, you know, share that with you in a moment. But the... But so what to say, you know, I've addressed this on Saturday, I addressed it on the radio shows, the sad crisis that yet again rocks the church. And so in writing to the parents, I said, suffice to say, it's our hope and our prayer that the Lord purge us of these scourges and purge us of the perpetrators. For our part, we offer prayers and acts of reparation, and move forward with our eyes fixed on Christ, who forewarned us, and he did, he forewarned us, that such abominations must be fought, resisted, and exorcised from the mystical body of Christ. And I purposely often always use, in reference to the church, the mystical body of Christ, because that's really what the church is. Because she's in history, she has to be institutional. It's an institution. But we cannot, you know, we have to understand that this is an institution imbued with the Spirit of God, and the church is here for the world as the sacrament that mediates God's grace. This is his body, his mystical body. And so that's why it becomes all the more deplorable, because this is God we're talking. We're supposed to reflect the life of God. And Jesus was extremely strong in defense of the innocent and the vulnerable, and he spoke of the wrath that would befall those who violate the life of another. I don't know, do you hear much of that in the commentaries? And I'd have to even go back and look at the Pope's letter, which I thought was very good. But this is a language I think that we've been reluctant to use in the church, because it's militaristic, you know, and I think we have to go back to that. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I remember when I was a seminarian, actually, and you know, any language that spoke of battle or the wrath of God, the punishment or the chastisement, or you know, was discouraged. In fact, it was kind of like the political correctness today. You just didn't say it because the narrative was so strong against it. And I guess the emphasis was on, you know, that God is a God of love. And but this is a manifestation of his love. You know, the extent to which he loves us, that he's not going to let us, his concern is our salvation. Not only our personal salvation, but that we're making a contribution to the salvation of others and to their sanctification as well. And so It's again, as you know, the whole thing today is my rights, but it's about responsibility. We spoke about this the other day, responsibility and obligations, right?
Yes.
So, but I'm just reflecting, because I've been reading a lot, you know, in my spare time. I'm looking at everything and I'm trying to see what are other priests saying. I spoke on Sunday, you know, and I'll continue. It's kind of reflected in the my preparations for this upcoming Sunday, because it really draws us to the essence of who we are, and that our identity as Christians cannot be understood or known apart from Scripture. We would say, perhaps apart from the teachings of the church. Well, but those teachings are based on sacred Scripture, which is deepened and developed in the magisterial teachings of the church, so that we understand in rather specific ways how we're to be, what we're to do, you know, what we have, what responsibility we have to each other, and the like. And so, but I think this is, and maybe I'm rehashing what we said the other day. I don't remember exactly what we spoke about, but it's, I mean, I know we talked about this, but I guess I'm still milling over this, but that the, and I'm thinking about this language of this, the combat, the battle, the warfare, the wrath of God, God's judgment, God's justice, which is a manifestation of His mercy because He wants to save us, right?
Yeah.
And so, but anyway, I kind of shared that, not all, in a few sentences, but that our faith is so often shaken in one way or another, but we lean into the light. Jesus told the disciples, your faith is going to be shaken, and you're going to take off, you're going to go away, but it has to be. And he, as I said already, he forewarned us that there would be such abominations, and they have to be resisted, they have to be fought, they have to be exercised from the life of the church. And I think I said the other day, in the epistles and the letters, St. Paul, St. John, St. Peter, St. James, the book of Revelation, I mean, it's all there. It's all there. And it is a battle. But we lean into the light. And no matter how dark the dark is, this light is more powerful. Christ is a light. We cleave to Him. And I say the grace, and I think this is one reason why we don't want to just, you know, shove this under the carpet, but we want to wrestle with these demons that are in the church, and it is demonic.
Mm-hmm.
We may not call it specifically a possession, but I don't know that the devil can possess the church, but he certainly it can be an obsession. But he's got to destroy this body because this is the body of Christ, and Jesus says you're not going to separate the head from the body. He says if people see me, they see you, and if they see you, they see me. I am the head, you are the body, and so you don't sever one from the other. Again, the Holy Church, because we say in the creed that the church is, what are the marks of the church? But Jesus founded one church. He's not the founder of many churches. He founded one church, which is a holy church. Mm-hmm. But that holiness is hidden. I have to be careful when I say that, because it's not hidden. It's perfection. Let me just say it's perfection is hidden in Christ, in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Perfectly hidden in the Blessed Virgin Mary and the communion of saints and the angels. But we're nonetheless to give witness to that holiness. So the work of God in our lives is to purge, to transform, and to sanctify. that the goal of our life is that Jesus indeed possess our lives, that he reproduce his life in our lives, and that we're sent to reflect Christ, that Christ is the church, and so we must be just not only his emissaries or his disciples, but disciples like the teacher. It's the teacher, the master, who's living in us and through us. And this is really the goal of our life. It's to be able to say, as St. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. So today's a feast of St. Rose of Lima, and she writes, you know, and she writes quite extensively about the necessity of struggle and suffering and the cross as the way to sanctity, sanctification of life, and union with Christ. It's the dying to self. I die that he live. I lose myself that he be found. I decrease that he increase. And so in her writings today, in the office of readings, I quote her, she said, "Gifts of grace increase as the struggle increases. Let men take care not to stray but to be deceived." You know, in other words, we bear responsibility for one another, and we will be judged based on our fulfilling this charge. And I just don't think we've been astute in our sensitivity to the judgment of God, that God will judge us. Now the good news is, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And so this is the beauty and the wonder of our faith, that this is a new day. And if we convert today, if we decide that we're going to change today, if we decide that we're going to surrender our lives to Christ today, then it's the born again experience, could be. And we make reparation for the sins of our past. And this is it's a very personal thing, but it's also a collective reality. So as the Pope writes in his letter, that and this is really quoting scripture, when one member suffers, the whole body suffers, you know? And so we, like as priests, we have to bear the sins of other priests, mm-hmm. just like as in a family, you know, because mm-hmm. we are. But it goes beyond that. It's the whole church. And that's where the temptation, as we'll read on Sunday, is disciples, the disciples of Jesus decided we can no longer be in the company of this man. His teachings are intolerable, and they walk away. And Jesus looks at the 12, knowing, of course, one is going to betray him. I think we talked about that the other day. And he says, "Do you want to go as well? Do you wish to leave me?" And Peter said, "Where do we go? We believe you have the words of life everlasting." And so it is a test of faith, you know. Do we have faith in Christ Jesus? And if we do, then we have to have faith in the church. We don't like the deviations or the sins of the institution or the sins of her members or the sins of the shepherds. We have to believe that the Lord is faithful. And see, that's the thing about the whole of history, because there's nothing new under the sun. The whole of biblical history, the whole of history is this fidelity, infidelity, surrender of all things to the Lord, and in taking back, or some people call it backsliding, right? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. But sometimes we live as though we're in the world and of the world. Mm-hmm. And again, we talked about that the other day, too. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. I want to, hopefully Tony will be here, and I want to share the reading yesterday from the book of Ezekiel, because it's just this whole week, the readings have been really providential as we are dealing with yet again the, you know, the blatant contradictions and desecration of the Holy Faith, the Church. So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
This is a prayer request from Winds of Change. We are asking for prayers for our St. Stan's parishioner, Juan Martinez's mother, Maria del Rosario Hernandez, who was just diagnosed with brain cancer. We truly believe in the power of prayer. Let us unite in prayer for her and for the entire family as they begin a challenging journey. Thank you. Cruise on over to St. Stan's August Fun Fest this Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. Bring your family, bring your friends for great ethnic foods, children's games, prizes, inflatables, music, raffles, and a dump tank. The proceeds will go to benefit St. Stan's Parish and School. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest is easy to find. Just one block north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy Expressway. Join the fun this Saturday, August 25th, from 3 until 8 p.m. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, two blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome, Antonio.
Thank you, Father.
I'm going to start calling you Antonio.
Yeah, it's good to feel wanted.
Yeah, you're wanted.
Yeah, but Father Coyce was pretty much talking what you were saying, too. He read the letter, and he has a unique perspective. I think, you know, the little things I was picking up is, and he's not saying this, but I think I'm reading into it, that more could be said. And I think, you know, it's just, it's a situation, it's... I mean, what more do you say? It's actually why I like to hear, you know, all of your perspectives on it, especially you. It's the Winds of Change, but with Father Coyce, it's, you know, it's a different perspective. And I think priests are all doing the same thing. They're trying to do this damage control. But I mean, I'm still at that point where I'm hit. You know, you feel like you're just knocked off the horse, so to say, and you're just trying to make sense of it.
Yeah,
but
I get the, you know, the, actually I think about that this morning too, because I had sent out a an email to family members and all that, because for the first time, you know, really, for the first time, I got questions, just, you know, what's going on,
and then how do you answer?
What are you thinking? Well, that's what I tried to, you know, I told them to read Chapter 12 and Chapter 26 of my book, A Mother's Plea. I told them, I tried to deal with, to speak with it, speak about it as I'm trying to do now, but, and sent them the letter that I wrote in the bulletin this past week, which didn't deal in a real direct way, but it was, but see, we go back to the basics. We have to go back to Scripture, and that's why, you know, on one hand, while it's shocking to a lot of people, I'm sad to say this, but it really shouldn't be if we're immersed in Scripture, because we know that this is the evil is going to lurk within the mystical body of Christ, within the Church. The devil is, you know, dead set on dividing and destroying. And again, as I've said many times, it's not to put the, you know, to put the blame on the devil.
Right.
But if we're not astute and nurturing.
But if anything, you know, not to interrupt, but if anything, I feel that now. I feel that this is a battle. And I think, I hope that most people will wake up and say, yeah, look at the battle that's going on. Because, you know, even in your talking about this, I keep going back to the political. And I hate sure. to do the mix, but if you look at it, it's kind of like the same, well, not so much the same thing, but similar.
Sure. The cover-ups.
Right. There's a cover-up. There's a, let me change your mind on something else. But, yeah. you know, with the Catholic Church, there's a truth there. That's a truth you can't manipulate.
But see, that's right. As I was saying before you came in, I mm-hmm. think that this is where we've got to really delve deep into the mystical body.
Right.
And, you know, we've got to detach. Go back to what, and I'll share with you right now what the prophet said yesterday. But last week, because we've been in the prophet Ezekiel, we've been reading from the book of Ezekiel, from the prophet, for the last week or so. And I think last week I mentioned, and this stays with me, because, yeah, there's a part of you that wants, and I've heard this from so many people, you just want to walk away. Who wants to be identified with this? You know, we have enough struggle as it is. We're up against, you know, so many people who really despise the Catholic faith, and for a wide variety of reasons. And yet, the most beautiful people, the most wonderful people, are Catholic. I mean, if you really live the faith, there's nothing more beautiful.
Right.
And you understand, and you know the sacraments, and you know Scripture. I don't know that we. I think this is the challenge, is to put things in a historical, from the perspective of sacred Scripture, put things in a and therefore in a historical perspective, because the beauty of our faith is that we're in relationship with a God who remains with us and has always been with us and has always been walking with the people, in dialogue with the people, purging. You have to keep going back to the idea of purgation, transformation, sanctification. God remains with us. He's the faithful one in spite of our infidelities, in spite of the fact that we prostitute ourselves, in a sense, because that's the whole book of Hosea. Is the people of God, the people of the covenant, the old covenant, but we're in the new covenant, which is even bigger than the old, because it's universal. It envelops all the nations, and nothing new under the sun. And so it's a foolish thing to think that, you know, with the coming of Christ, the Messiah, and his atoning for our sins and setting us free from slavery to sin and death, that we're not in the battle, but we have the means to be in a perpetual way renewed and washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's our right participation in the sacred mysteries of the faith and in the Holy Mass. It goes beyond what we can sense and what we can feel, but it's what in fact happens. It's what keeps us grounded, what keeps us wise, and that the rain comes, the wind blows, and the house doesn't collapse, as Jesus said. But just the book of Ezekiel yesterday, it was something that came out. It was in my mind. It went out of my mind based on what you were saying. But the hidden grace is that it forces us to wrestle with the why of who we are. Why am I a Catholic? Why am I a priest? Why do I remain? I this morning, in my chapel, when I was praying, I pulled out my, especially after reading from the prophet Ezekiel, I pulled out my what I wrote on the anniversary of my priesthood, and it just, again, I'd like to, you know, get it out there to everybody, because I think we have to be very real about who we are. And as I said the other day to the people, you know, and it was one of those readings at Mass from the Gospel where Jesus said, this is a difficult road. It's a narrow path very difficult. And when Peter said, how can man then stay on this path that is really the road to eternal life, Jesus said, you know, for man it's impossible, but for God all things are possible. But the point I tried to make with the people is that if we're not struggling, then it's not Christian. Yeah. If we're not struggling, it's not Christian. And that's what St. Rose of Lima, I just read a little part of her reading, but I went on, and actually shared it with Mariela, who's getting married to Anjay, one of our parishioner. And she's from Lima, Peru. Mm-hmm. And so I sent her, but I didn't want to send her the whole reading because it was very about the cross and right. suffering and struggle and all that. I did, I used my own words, but Rosa of Lima was very strong. But I didn't want to, you know, overwhelm her, especially she's getting ready for her wedding. You know, we talked about, I had a meeting with them last night. But the point is that the beautiful things about how wonderful and how marvelous and how beautiful God is, mm-hmm. and to have that faith, and nothing in the world mm-hmm. can suffice, can give us what we receive mm-hmm. in faith from God. But it comes at a cost. It is mm-hmm. a struggle. And as I say all the time, we're not flying high, but we're in the battle. And so the grace in all this is that we look realistically at the church institution, because she's in history, but the mystical body. But if we're not, all of us, nurturing that mysticism, we easily slip into the ways of the world, or we become a corporation, a business. And I deal with this in my reflections on it after 25 years as a priest. Maybe I'll share some of that with you at some point. I don't know if we'll do it today, but let me just go back to the prophet Ezekiel. And I mean, hear this, because again, nothing new under the sun. But the word of the Lord came to me. Ezekiel writes, God says, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. In these words, prophesy to them, to the shepherds. So who are the shepherds? They're the shepherd is a pastor, the mm-hmm. priests, the bishops, right? The Pope. We're the shepherds of the church. It could be the father of a family, but we're really speaking specifically to those who have been given the charge to lead the people of God. And so God says, woe to the shepherds who have been pasturing themselves, mm-hmm. themselves. Should not shepherds rather pasture sheep? You fed off their milk. You've worn their wool. You've slaughtered the fatlings. But the sheep you have not pastured. You've taken from them. You did not strengthen the weak, nor heal the sick, nor bind up the injured. You did not bring back the strayed, nor seek the lost. But you lorded it over them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered for the lack of a shepherd and became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered and wandered over all the mountains and high hills. My sheep were scattered over the whole earth, with no one to look after them or search for them. Therefore, shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, because my sheep have been given over to pillage, because my sheep have become food for every wild beast, for lack of a shepherd, because my shepherds did not look after my sheep, but pastured themselves, and did not pasture my sheep, because of this, shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, I swear, I'm coming against these shepherds. I will claim my sheep from them, put a stop to their shepherding my sheep, so that they may no longer pasture themselves. I will save my sheep, that they may no longer be food for their mouths. I myself will look after and tend my sheep." It's interesting, isn't it?
It's really powerful.
So if the Lord, if indeed he is speaking these words to us today, that doesn't mean that all the shepherds are bad. No, most of the bishops are good, most of the priests. You know, it's a fraction. I hope it's no more than a fraction, a small percentage. But let's just, you know, I said they had put aside the abominations we're having to deal with. You know, what about the indifference? What about laziness? What about worldliness? You know, and that's why, you know, and it's, and I've written about this, and that's why I went back today, because I had to look at my, so when I read that, I'm not, as I was in prayer reading that, I wasn't, yeah, was I thinking about, you know, those who have betrayed the faith, or those who have, to protect their privilege, or their prestige, or their power, or to protect the institution over and above those who are being violated, you know, those who are innocent and vulnerable. You know, sir, I'm thinking of them, but I'm looking at myself as well. And I mean in a big way, and I hope that all priests are looking at themselves and, you know, and evaluate and take a good look at, you know, what have I done to leave the sheep? Yeah, I read that. I don't have the book with me, but I read that yesterday, the other day, in A Mother's Plea. I you know, the sheep are left in the garden of Gethsemane, mm-hmm. waiting the kiss of death, because we're not preaching the full counsel of God. We're not living it. I think there's a real need, and I think this has been going on for a long time, and it's, I don't know that this is a cry that will come from the people. I think to purge and the scourge of the church, to exorcise the demons that are defiling the faith of all, but I don't know that there's a cry from the people that we authenticate our lives as the shepherds, you know, to really detach from any kind of worldliness, and to cultivate and nurture a true life of asceticism. Because people often say, well, Father needs this, or Father needs that, you know, he needs the best, you know, that's, well, you know what I'm saying? It's, mm-hmm. And because they see, you know, many priests are serving the people well. Most mm-hmm. priests, I would hope, are serving the people well. But I look at myself and I say, you know, I take my vocation very serious, mm-hmm. and I take very serious, you know, the responsibility that is mine, but, you know, I'm lazy, I am distracted so often, you know what I'm saying, and we got to be realistic. I was thinking about this too, you know, because I've become super, I don't want to say scrupulous, but I'm certainly not super scrupulous, but I think there's a tinge of scrupulosity mm-hmm. on my part. So I'm thinking, my God, you know, any kind of bad thought makes me unworthy of the priesthood, right?
Mm-hmm. Or Father, you're sensitive.
Well, sensitive to the faith.
To the faith, to the things mm-hmm. that are sacred. Well, sensitive to... Like many of the saints, they didn't, the fear of offending God.
But we do offend
we
God.
We do. I'm not saying we do. We do.
And that's what I'm
we
saying.
Fall
you know,
short.
The scripture says that the just man mm-hmm. sins seven times a day. Now, we're not talking about, you know, these abominations mm-hmm. that, you know, have rocked the faith of the church, But the just man, the saintly man, sins seven times a day. So when Peter said, "How many times do I forgive?" Seven times a day. This would be the right the biblical answer, and Jesus says, no, 70 times 7. But we have to set the standard. You know, mm-hmm. we got to take a break, I know, because we're really moving on. So let's do that, and we'll try to center ourselves, maybe get your response to all this. But very interesting, mm-hmm. isn't it? The admonition mm-hmm. against mm-hmm. the shepherds. And we have to humbly hear that, each and every one of us, and say, you know, yeah, I've sinned. Mm-hmm. I've sinned. And Lord, have mercy on me. I mm-hmm. am a sinner. And let me not be an impediment, or let me not be an obstacle, or let me not be a barrier to the manifestation of yourself in the midst of the world's corruption. This is an evil age. This is a corrupt age, as we hear in Scripture. You know, we're affected by what we see all around us. It's all been sanitized and accepted and celebrated, you know, what is totally contrary to the gospel, to the commandments of God. And yet we've allowed that to seep into our lives as well, you know, I think, yes. for sure. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen and Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
This is a prayer request from Winds of Change. We are asking for prayers for our St. Stan's parishioner, Juan Martinez's mother, Maria del Rosario Hernandez, who was just diagnosed with brain cancer. We truly believe in the power of prayer. Let us unite in prayer for her and for the entire family as they begin a challenging journey. Thank you.
Cruise on over to St. Stan's August Fun Fest this Saturday, August 25th from 3 until 8 p.m. Bring your family, bring your friends for great ethnic foods, children's games, prizes, inflatables, music, raffles, and a dump tank. The proceeds will go to benefit St. Stan's Parish and School. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest is easy to find. Just one block north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy Expressway. Join the fun this Saturday, August 25th, from 3 until 8 p.m. The St. Stan's August Fun Fest.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing. Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know, stop or go, hot or cold, up or down, this way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststanschurch.org. And click on the radio tab to make your donation, one way or the other.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So we were talking on during the break here, but you know, I don't want to, you know, just keep rehashing. But I think it's you were saying in the break, Tony, about that there is a need to keep addressing this. Why?
I believe there is, because people don't hear this, and most of all, and that's why, again, it hurts, yet it's something we need to know, just to know, because I think many people have forgotten what the body of Christ really is. You know, and I sit here and I know so many of these men have fallen, but I'm thinking also, you know what? We represent that body, so in a sense, we're all to blame in an odd way. And I know to some people that might seem, well, you know what? But it's a battle. And, you know, it's you hear the superficial, you know, like explanations or, you know, and you don't really hear the heart of the teaching, the things that, and I, as I think about this, maybe that's what we've missed in all these years. We forgot where we come from and where we're going. And this should be like one of those things that pop in your eyes and, okay, yes, we fall off that track. And you say it so many times. This, get up and get back in line, in a sense.
And see, so I was going back to the email that I mm-hmm. sent to the family, and I really didn't get much of a response. And so I don't know, you know, did I not address it properly? Are they, you know, just mm-hmm. Really hurting, angry? Did I give a superficial response? You wonder. That's why I'm saying with the parents. I didn't mm-hmm. know. I wrestled with, you know, how to address, because I was listening to some of the stuff the priest was saying. I looked at some YouTube things and all that, and some of it just, it was kind of nauseating to me, because but I understand and I have sympathy mm-hmm. because I know they're grappling with it as well. But to try to go into the details and to say this or that, mm-hmm. it really is that we've got to go back, or to even try to tell everybody. See, I remember when this scandal broke in the in the early 2000s, and I think I mentioned this on the radio mm-hmm. before, but there was a media campaign called "Good Men Wear Black." And mm-hmm. so on the mm-hmm. buses in the city, you right. had, mm-hmm. you know, the pictures on the side of the bus, and you had maybe six priests mm-hmm. wearing the Roman collar, the, you know, dressed in the clerical garb. And it's a good men wear black. And it was a way of trying to remind the people that, you know, the priest, while there are those who have, in a gross way, gone astray, because we mm-hmm. all go astray. And I can't emphasize that enough, not in such a gross way, and I hope even saying that isn't a cause for scandal, but we're struggling with the very thing that everybody else is struggling with, and that's why if we're not, that's why I write about this. Oh, you know, I wish I could again get these writings out, because I just, it's like I wanna, and you know, I was gonna take out an ad in the Chicago Catholic again, and I even wrote it, and I thought, no, you know, is this just, it's not that it's about me, but it's like I wanna shout out and say, you know, but we've got to put things in perspective, and we've got to get back to the basics. And it's, you know, aside from these horrific things, there's still a major problem, and that is that for as good as we may be, are we really in persona Christi? In other words, do we have the courage and the humility and the desire to walk to the beat of a different drummer, mm-hmm. to put ourselves on that lonely path into the desert, into the dark of night? Because, and that's that narrow path that Jesus speaks about, but for priests, I believe it's necessary. Because we, as I write in response to that campaign, because mm-hmm. I took offense to that because I thought we don't need to be coddled, mm-hmm. and that people remind, you know, that there are good priests and good, you know, we're saying it, but no, we have to. It's for us to step back and say, who am I? What have I done, or what am I not doing, or what can I do? What do I need to do? And so I think this is a wake-up mm-hmm. call. You know, there was horrible thing I read today. I was reluctant to even say it, but a bishop in Mexico, unless he was misquoted, but he said it was kind of like shame on those who make the accusation against the priests or the bishops of the church. And I thought, that's the problem.
See, this is, I think, another thing, too.
And I hope that's fake news, you know, but that's what I read.
And see, this is unfortunate, the thing that really is bothering me, because I want to know what the Pope says, okay? And he's wrote his letter. I want to know what bishops say. I want to know what my faith is. I want to know what my pastor says. You say that. But when I hear other people describing this or commenting on this, people that are not Catholic, people that hate the church, people that, dare I say, are even confused with what's really going on, so to say the fake news, or they're just a misunderstanding of what's going on, it sickens me. It's just how do you reach, and actually it makes me angry. That's why I think what you're saying now are the things that need to be said, not the campaign of, you know, good guys wear black. The point is, we should be talking the faith. We should be talking. It's more than just that campaign. Like, I think about that when they were saying Catholics come home. Okay, that was really good for a while, but then it stopped. Is it only a year's time? We don't go on with this? It's just that these are the things that kind of really bother me. It's like, if you know the scriptures, if you know the faith, you can see how this has happened.
But see, this is where we've domesticated the church. Mm-hmm. We've sanitized, domesticated. We've superficialized the faith. You know, we're good people. We're loving people. We're going to befriend the world. The world is going to love us. We're going to come. No, it's just not that. It's not the case. In the letter that I wrote for the Chicago paper, which, you know, I had written this letter before 2 years ago, a different letter. Right. You know, I wanted to thank everybody about, you know, because when I was going through surgery, and I just received so much, just an outpouring of, prayers and novenas and masses, and there's no way I could get back to all these people, and I didn't know who they were, where they were coming from. It was from all over the archdiocese and beyond. So I wanted to take out that ad, and I shared this, you know, at one point, and even read it, and I wrote this letter, but I wanted to thank people, but take it beyond myself and to put suffering within the context of a bigger reality, and that is that we're in a spiritual battle. And I quoted Pope Benedict, who said the false deities will be unmasked through the suffering faith of simple believers, and that Jesus says you're not going to have it easy, you're not going to befriend the world, you're going to be hated as I was hated, the road is narrow. Mm-hmm. Put all that in there. They came back, they sent it back, and they deleted all reference to the Pope and all reference to Jesus. And I thought, this is a Catholic paper. I was so livid. I said, withdraw the ad. I was going to pay $1,000 that I don't have for that ad. So I'm withdrawing the ad because you've taken the meat out of it. So here I'm ready to do something else. I said, there's no. But so in the letter that I wrote, which I didn't send, I said, you know, that we should, if I were the Pope, or I would petition, well, let's just say, if I were the Pope, if I were the Holy Father, the Pope, I would, you know what I would do? You want to know what I'd do?
Yeah, I'd like to know.
I would call priests and bishops throughout the world to discard their vestments, and for a period of time, 40 days, 40 nights, or 40 days, to celebrate the sacred mysteries in sackcloth and ashes.
Wow.
A public act of penitence, that we are penitential. We need to make reparation. And it's not just the cover-ups or the sick, demented men who did this or whatever, you know, and there's variations of abuse, you know, however you want to define it. So the media will sensational. When I forgive me for saying it, because truth is truth, but to fixate on maybe the most horrific, which is so horrific that it really turns your stomach. It's so sickening, and it's demonic. You know, there's variations of these abuses that are out there. But again, have we not, as Ezekiel the prophet is saying, have we not caused the sheep to scatter? Because we've been, we have no backbone to preach the full counsel of God in a merciful way. but to counter, because all this that's going on in the church is also symptomatic of the society we live in. And we've allowed it to infiltrate the church. And it's, no matter what you do, Jesus said, it's going to be there. He said that. Mm-hmm. You're going to have scandal. But the more lukewarm we are, the more indifferent, or the more we try to domesticate, because we don't want to challenge ourselves, you know, mm-hmm. to take that walk down that narrow path. And for priests, that's the only way it can be, because they've got the charge of shepherding the flock, leading the flock. And so, yeah, I can be in the company of, you know, good guys who wear black, but I'd rather that we not, you know, when they talk about the brotherhood of the priests, it's true, but what's it going to take for us to challenge ourselves to a life of asceticism? You know, enough of the smiling Jesus, or the smiling Father, or the smiling Bishop, or the smiling Pope, whatever. We need to recultivate that masculine energy that is about what? But to protect, to provide, to protect, and to prepare the flock for the storm that is no longer on the horizon, but it's just enveloped the entire world. I write in the letter for Sunday that we are in a moral, spiritual Armageddon. And if we're not going to address that, because we don't have the courage to, because you don't know it. If you're in it, you don't know it.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. It's like being in the dark without realizing you're in the darkness, mm-hmm. you know? And so, yeah, we're affected by the world we live in, and we fall, we fail. We have to go to confession as well. But I say, you know, this is a time, at least I would hope, well, certainly it is for me. I have to, and that's why I was glad I read my reflections on my 25th anniversary, which was what, already 8 years ago, maybe.
Oh.
And it's like I'm still growing into the priesthood. I say, and in some ways, we're like outsiders looking in, even while we're on the inside. And there's a point where we can no longer be on the outside, but we've just got to be right smack in the inside, at the very heart. Really cleaving to the cross and staying there. And if we feel an emptiness, we've got to let Jesus, and only Jesus, fill the emptiness or the void. And it's there for a purpose, because it's as I say, you know, it's walking that desert, eating the dry dirt. But in doing that, we develop a great empathy and compassion for the reality that our people suffer.
Yeah.
And if we're not suffering with the people, then I think we become ineffective as shepherds. That's my thoughts for the moment, you know. All right, everybody, we will be back tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
So thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
To say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell of strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.